You are listening to National Security Law Today.
Welcome to National Security Law Today, the podcast of the Standing Committee on Law and National Security. I'm Elisa Poteet, always here in my individual capacity. We're continuing our series on scaling AI, and we needed to hit pause for a couple of reasons. But before I even get to that, let's talk about what's coming up on the calendar. Now, you might remember that the philosophy of NSLT is that social networking is no such thing. It's not networking. Sometimes it's really important just to show up and experience other people. It's called in vivo communications, or whatever you want to call it, in real life. We have an opportunity for you to show up in real life to meet two interesting people who are very familiar with something called hostage diplomacy and the rule of law. What we're going to talk about here is the wrongful detention of American citizens overseas, which regrettably happens with some regularity. But it happened astonishingly and powerfully to a man named Jason Rezaian, who worked for the Washington Post. And what happened was he was held hostage for over 400 days, which is longer than the original embassy hostages that you think about or you learned about, at least the beginning of it, in the movie Argo. The opportunity for you to show up is coming up soon. It's Thursday, March 5th, 2026. It's going to be a luncheon at the Army Navy Club, which is located at 901 17th Street Northwest. It's easy to get there. There's Metro that takes you orange, blue, silver to Farragut West. Or if you're among the elite, you took the red line, you get off at Farragut North, and it's literally smack between the two. You can also take bike share there, and there are plenty of scooter rentals that can get you there. We hope that you can join us. So what we're going to do is place a link in the notes to this cast so that you can sign up and attend. And it's going to be a good talk. Maybe it's time to get out of the house, shake off the cold, and enjoy your fellow lawyers, and particularly people who've worked on something this exciting, as David Bowker has, who's going to be there and talk about work that he and others did to try to free Jason Rezaian. And Jason's going to be there and talk about his experience, too. All right, now on with the cast. There have been a lot of news events, so many affecting AI that I think it's time to pause and just sort of review some of them. And some of them end up being about AI in kind of a roundabout way, and others are just generally about sort of threats presented. But right now we're going to talk about infrastructure projects. Between 2000 and 2023, Chinese financial institutions backed 2,500 energy projects, including gas pipelines, airport terminals. These are more than energy products. They're like infrastructure projects. And they did this in almost every U.S. state, lending more than $103 billion since 2018. Now, this comes at a time when two successive administrations have warned foreign leaders about debt exposure, including China. And here we are, we have debt exposure. Now, many of these institutions that lend money are Chinese state-owned creditors, and of course, they lend to U.S. borrowers. Of the top 20 recipients of Chinese credit, the United States ranks the highest borrower, borrowing four times the amount of the next highest borrower, which is Russia. Now, this was revealed by an Aid Data, a research lab at William & Mary, and among the projects borrowing from Chinese state-owned lenders were data centers in Data Center Alley in Northern Virginia, which is home to the CIA and the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. In addition to that, several terminals at JFK Airport were built using these lent funds by state-owned Chinese financial institutions, as well as a high-voltage transmission line that runs from Canada to New York. Now, state infrastructure projects were not the only borrowers, but receiving lines of credit were also large companies that may cause you pause. Let's talk about what some of them were. Defense contractor Halliburton, Tesla, another defense contractor and aircraft manufacturer Boeing, chip maker Qualcomm, and entertainment company Disney, as well as companies that conduct DNA analysis and other sensitive technologies. Now, some of the data held by these companies could be used by Beijing to advance its AI development and, of course, its growing biomedical industry, both of which could help China become the world's dominant economic power. On that sunny note, let's move on. When you think of the online gaming industry, and I'm not talking about betting gaming, but video gaming, They are showing how adaptive they are with AI. And at least one company has pivoted to develop AI to change the battlefield. And it's now raising questions about whether even small countries with high quality, brilliantly developed AI programs might not be able to punch well above their weight in the years to come. In the United Kingdom, Hadean, a former video game developing company, has developed a new AI model, Dominant AI, that can perceive complex threat scenarios and create calibrated responses based on data pulled from civilian and military sources. So in theory, this would allow commanders to make quicker and better decisions about how to respond to potential threats. And they run drills like a threat to undersea cables posed by a ship with a spurious flag heading toward a massive BCS's east-west interlink network cable, the one that connects Lithuania and Sweden. And they figure out how to deploy forces if necessary or drones in order to intercept the vessel and prevent destruction of that all-important communications cable. All right. Alarmingly, a group of Stanford University scientists have published a paper in which they're reporting using AI-created viruses capable of killing bacteria. I want to say at the outset, this paper has not been peer-reviewed, as I understand it, but it raises some pretty clear concerns that AI could be used to develop a virus or other pathogen that could wipe out humanity and prove nearly impossible or fully impossible to control. No worries, nothing to see here. Major concerns about AI data centers and their impact on the grid continue. A new theory is emerging, however, that would allow data centers to soak up energy during periods when grid use is less than 50%, which apparently is at least 50% of the year. So it sounds like some alternatives are being considered. That's obviously welcome news. Now, because energy and AI are big news items any day of the week, the announcement of combining of companies, xAI and SpaceX, should have caught the attention of those interested in scaling AI and interested in national security. So why? Well, there is a populist backlash to data centers, which tend to be in rural areas, and a lot of concern about the impact on the availability of water and electricity, and of course, electricity costs that are used by average Americans. So it's causing solvers to look at the viability of space-based orbital data centers that could leverage solar. In other words, the data centers would be floating around using solar power in space, orbital space being already a crowded place. Presently, SpaceX dominates launch at this moment, although it's clear Blue Origin is moving in that direction. But in the coming weeks, we'll be talking more about space data centers, the national security impact, and more. This week, AI company Anthropic improved its Claude LLM by adding certain add-ins. These included legal services. But even more, now the lawyers are all shuddering. Oh, gosh. And maybe you should be. But it also included something that should be making a lot of people at major financial institutions and services like Bloomberg quake in their boots a bit. And that is they're also offering financial analysis as well as real estate analysis. And there have been lots of models trying to track real estate. So with that, Anthropic, which is headed by former OpenAI executive Daria Amodei, eclipsed all the other AI companies and seemed to pull ahead on the exchange. So we're going to be developing conversations around these recent news items in the weeks to come. And we'll probably be talking to experts, some of whom you may have heard of, some of whom you haven't. And we'll try to develop the national security concerns that we see continuing to crop up as AI scales. So thank you so much for listening to NSLT. We really appreciate it. If you could, please subscribe to our podcast, like, share it, and encourage others to subscribe. Not because we're just wild about the attention, but the truth is we like to have very civil discourse on this podcast and to concentrate on educating. And that's not that common in a world where clickbait is what sort of amplifies content. So we do appreciate it. I am, of course, the writer, producer, and host, me, Elisa Poteet, always here in my individual capacity, but no woman stands alone. I'm, of course, assisted by the ever-wonderful Holly McMahon, who is my co-producer and, of course, the director of Skolens, as well as our editor, Frances Burkham, who also serves as co-producer. And our program manager is the ever-wonderful Antasia Hawkins-Blakeney. We're also assisted in social media support by Alana Coopersmith. And of course, we're always assisted by all the brilliant minds of the Standing Committee on Law and National Security. This podcast would not be possible without them. They do pursue the good without any regard for politics, and they are a wonderful bunch. You'll get an opportunity to meet a lot of them if you remember to show up on March 5th, 2026. So check it out in the notes to the podcast. You will find a link to get there. Now, last word tonight, many of you have requested something on the Insurrection Act. Now, you may not know this, but many years ago, we talked at length about the Insurrection Act, the legal mechanisms that could trigger it, how long it should last, and when it's been deployed. Some of you may know it was used to integrate the schools by Eisenhower. And then it was briefly, and with the permission of the then California governor, was used to stop the rioting in Los Angeles that followed the verdict in the Rodney King beating case. If you're interested in that and you're like a law student or a young lawyer or just a curious person and you'd like to know a little bit more about how that actually functions, we will also put a link in the podcast that will take you back to a time before we were on Apple when we recorded all of this, and you can listen, and I hope you enjoy it. We'll see you next time. Thanks so much for listening.
The views expressed on National Security Law Today have not been approved by the House of Delegates or the Board of Governors of the American Bar Association, and this recording should not be construed as representing ABA policy.